When U.S. forces and their allies moved into Afghanistan, they did not capture Osama bin Laden, but they did capture some of his organization's files. The Pentagon has since assembled masses of letters, emails, and minutes of meetings by al-Qaeda. Somebody with a sense of irony called it the Harmony Database. Portions have now been declassified for Vahid Brown, who is a researcher at West Point, and he put together an inside history of al-Qaeda decision-making using those captured documents.
If you can imagine the U.S. military shaking down an al-Qaeda house after having intelligence and arresting someone, whatever would be there, laptops, documents, files, filing cabinets full of documents, all of those things that relate to al-Qaeda and its operations would potentially make their way into the Harmony database.
And what were some of the documents that began drawing your attention more and more to this man, Abu Walid, who you think is one of the more central figures that we don't know a lot about anyway in al-Qaeda?
We have his diaries. We have long memoirs that he wrote while sitting on a mountaintop in the middle of a battle, kind of just trench diaries. And it's in these trench diaries where he's describing the day-to-day operations of his group fighting the communists in Afghanistan. He records in those memoirs and in those diaries his day-to-day frustrations with trying to communicate and trying to collaborate with al-Qaeda.
So what did he want, in a few sentences, for al-Qaeda to do and to be?
Abu Walid's view was al-Qaeda should maintain its hold in Afghanistan at the end of the Soviet jihad and make Afghanistan a bastion of jihad that could be spread around the Muslim world.
And spread out militarily, in a sense, attack other countries, strike at other countries, and take over other governments.
Yes, something that it could only do if it maintained its location in one place that was secure and in which it could train and develop its capacities as a guerrilla organization. The fact that al-Qaeda withdrew from Afghanistan shortly after the anti-Soviet jihad meant that it was unable to continue its long-running programs in training guerrilla fighters and training groups that could wage jihad.
So how does that compare with Osama bin Laden's vision? What did he want?
Osama bin Laden did not have a particular long-range vision at the beginning. In the very early years, bin Laden said, jihad next should be in Yemen. We need to liberate Yemen from communist rule. He did go to Yemen for a time, but was unable to get any traction in getting a jihadi movement going there. Later it was he wanted to repel the United Nations and the United States from their involvement in Somalia, in the peacekeeping mission in Somalia, which was in opposition to an Islamist terrorist group that was running amok in the country. So there's no consistent line of strategy here.
So you've got this one guy, Abu Walid, who had a specific vision, take over Afghanistan, work outside from there. You have
Yes.
bin Laden, who had the money and therefore the influence, flitting around Yemen, ending up back in Afghanistan, setting up a base there after all. Did bin Laden in the end come up with a coherent strategy, a coherent vision for what al-Qaeda should be?
No, I don't think so. I think that the current vision that does appear to be this consistent opposition to the West, it's something that developed after 9/11 when 9/11 made al-Qaeda a household name. It made bin Laden an international star. And the cachet that they had gained from attacking the United States became the most valuable element of their brand. And so embittered Muslims and people with issues with American policies in the Middle East were attracted to bin Laden and to al-Qaeda as this emblem of a resistance to the United States. But it did not begin with that vision. It did not have that strategy all along.
Without minimizing al-Qaeda's attacks, which have been numerous and deadly, has this organization been more of a PR threat, a propaganda threat, than an actual military threat to the West?
If we're talking about al-Qaeda Central, yes, this is a PR group. This is a media organization. That has been their primary product in the last several years, has been many messages to the media, sometimes on a daily basis. They're constantly trying to inspire people around the world to take up arms and commit terrorist acts, but they don't have an infrastructure that can instigate those acts, can support them, can provide resources to them, can provide personnel. There are groups around the world that have taken the brand name. They've decided they're going to operate under al-Qaeda's name.
Al-Qaeda in Iraq, to give one example.
Exactly, the most important example. But they do not have organizational links to al-Qaeda Central in Pakistan. One point in the insurgency, it was deemed to be a strategic advantage for them to use the name of al-Qaeda because of its fame, because of its capacity to attract potential volunteers from outside of Iraq. Now it's turned out to be a liability for al-Qaeda in Iraq, the use of that name, and they've rejected it. They've shunned it.
Vahid Brown is a research associate at the Combating Terrorism Center at West Point. He's been looking at a lot of recently declassified documents from Al-Qaeda. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much, Steve.
And when you study the divisions in Al-Qaeda, it throws new light on the latest audio tape, supposedly from Osama bin Laden. The Arab TV channel Al Jazeera broadcast the tape as it broadcast so many before. The message calls on insurgents in Iraq to set aside their differences. Bin Laden tries to accomplish that by admitting that in his view, Al-Qaeda in Iraq needs to be less arrogant. That may refer to Al-Qaeda's killing of Iraqis, killings that have turned many of its local allies against the group.